Okay, well, good afternoon, everybody. Hi, this is Eric, and we are going live on StreamYard today, hopefully. And we are going to go live here on Blog Talk Radio if I ever get my act together. I got caught up in so many different things here, and I apologize for mumbling and stumbling through this. I'm trying to get the studio to come up on the Blog Talk Radio board. And it says I'm waiting for the cachet. And I've also sent several messages out on my personal IM on my Eric Smith page. And for some reason, people can't get to the studio via those invitations that I sent out. So what I tried to do is I tried to do it through the StreamYard one, and if I send too many, then they can't come. So let me send one here to one of our panelists, and let's see here. Let's send it to DL. Let's see if DL gets it. DL, send. Now, don't tell me I have to do this one at a time, because last time it asked me if I was a robot and gave me some type of security thing. And, okay, so I can send it to DL. That's good news. How about sending it to our good friend, Radical Moderate? Let's see here. Radical Moderate. Send. Okay, that's a good thing. Let's try sending it to some of our regular people. Let's try. Yo. Darcy, let's see if she gets it. And let's see if we send it to Belle Ann. See if she gets it. And okay, I just got another message saying that everybody else. Oh my goodness, this is just nuts. And I forgot the John Isaac. Oh my gosh, I forget John. John, take me out and shoot me, John. Isaac says,
hey brother, if your plan is basic.
No, it's the middle one. I guess it's a $25 a month one. Is that basic?
Yeah, $25 one is a basic. It means you can only have up to 10 participants at one time. The rest have to watch. So you have to be careful on that as well.
Okay, so if I upgrade to the other one, which is $50 a month, how many people can – it says I can still only have 10 people in the studio at a time.
Yes, sir. So basically this StreamYard, the rest are supposed to listen on – so you have to bring up the people who wants to participate when they text you on the YouTube, and you can send them to come up and have a live chat with you and discussion with you. Otherwise, 10 is the limit as the participants at one time.
Okay, so this is something that I was not aware of. Of course. So it looks like we might be going back to Zoom, because I when we get people, when we get a good topic going here, we have 25, 30 people in the room at a time.
Exactly. But they are not always, everyone is not always speaking. They have to raise their hand and then they are speaking. Same is the case. So when somebody is doing live chat on YouTube with you, which will show on your right side on the private chat, and you can send them the link and they can come up and start speaking. So this one is more of a show on stage kind of a thing where you have limited participant talking and discussing.
Okay, so I'm clicking on – everybody, as you can tell
– not always. Everyone is not always speaking. They have to raise their hand and then they are speaking. Same is the case. So when somebody is doing a live chat on YouTube, which will
turn off your live stream here.
Yeah, okay. All right, because you were getting feedback on that?
Yes, sir.
Don't live stream. Okay.
All right, so yeah, like Adam's been saying, like you can have your panel of guests. So say today, it's me, you, and Adam Secret is the guest panelist that are going to say something today. On the right-hand screen, we have the private and the comments. We can see the people on YouTube and everywhere else that are talking to us through those comments. So if somebody says, I would like to come up and I would like to speak, or can I come on to the show, can I talk to you, we can put them the link into the chat, and they can come up right away, and we can allow them into the studio.
Well, why didn't we work this out the other night when we were doing a test run?
you never invited me. I would have told you all that.
That's right. Yeah, okay, because Rad and Chris and I were like, oh, man, this is great. We got the scroll going on underneath here. We got the banner up here in the, well, you can't see it, but it's up here in the right-hand corner. We have this down pat, and then as soon as we go to live, that music is, that you ever hear that Price is Right music when they lose is wah, wah, wah. That's exactly how I feel right now, how this thing is. It's not working out for him. But, you know, that's okay. It's a learning process, and it's just the way it goes. It took us a couple weeks to get used to Zoom. And this is probably a question that we're probably just going to have to answer after the show today on whether or not we should continue using the platform. Or, I mean, what do you guys think? Is this a better platform than Zoom?
I like it, but at the same time, your video on YouTube is set for children. So if it is set for children, nobody can send you live chat comments. So right now I cannot do that. So go to your YouTube studio where you are playing this video and set it that this video is not for children. So there are two radio buttons. Okay. So you're not making it adult content, but you are just saying it's not made for specifically for children.
Okay.
Otherwise, you will not have live chats.
Okay. So I go to my YouTube page.
Studio page, yes.
No, I had a studio page. See, this is why I suck, is because I don't know. Okay, I have my YouTube for artists created comedy, that's TV.
YouTube dashboard.
And where would that be? That would be under home.
Are you on your computer, Eric?
I'm on YouTube right here, but I can't find my page. If I go to home, wait, hold on a second.
Click on your videos.
I don't know where they are. Library, history, it's right here. It says words, your videos.
Yes, sir. And go to, then you will have two tabs. Click on live.
Yeah.
And that will show you your current live video. And click on the pencil mark, which means edit. And when you go into edit, you will see two radio boxes down. So set it not made for kids so that people could send comments on live chat.
Made for kids. Now it says public.
Public, yes. It should be public and not for kids.
Okay, but it doesn't say that. It just says save or publish. Edit end screen, card. Well, let's try this.
You're going to publish it at least or save it or something.
Settings. Hold on. Maybe it's under settings. Channel, no. Because I see the it says visibility and it says public, made for kids, set by you.
Yeah, so click on the pencil, which means edit. So there's a pencil thing. When you hover your mouse over it, you will see a pencil or you will see a pencil on the right side of your video on the live. Click on that. So move your mouse over the text, which is right on the right side of the video screen. Click on pencil, which means details. Basically, there you will edit it. So move it to not for kids, and then people can send you live comments.
It's not giving me that, though. It's not.
Okay, let me make a screenshot for you.
It's not allowing me to do that.
Okay, let me show you my screen. This will be easy.
Let me come back to StreamYard. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, Chrome tab. YouTube details, share. So you see this is the detail page. So you scroll down.
Hold on. Add the stream. Okay, there we go. Okay, I see it. All right, go ahead now.
So this is, you have, yes, this is made for kids. You have to no, this
okay,
is not made
not,
for kids.
That's not what I'm seeing. Let me bring this back over here and see.
So here, you will be able to see here, go to live. So when you click on your videos, you will be able to go to live. Then over here, click on this pencil. You will see,
okay.
Yes, click on this pencil. You will go into details. Once you are in details, you scroll down and you select, no, it is not made for kids. Does that make sense?
It's okay. I scroll down and I'm looking for schedule, thumbnail, playlist, audio.
Yeah, scroll down a little.
No, it's not made for kids.
And now save it. The save button is on the top right corner.
Save, top right corner. changes saved. Okay, do you see any difference on the live stream at all, or?
Okay, now we can put comments. Hi, can you see my comment on your right side on your StreamYard?
No, I can't.
Yes, you can.
I don't have
yes,
it, because if I have it up, then it's going to, hold on, let me go back to that page.
Yes, you can. On your StreamYard, on your right side, you can see it on comments. Don't click on private chat, click on comments. Comments is the comments coming to you from Facebook and
yes,
from YouTube. So private chat is for the chat who are audience inside StreamYard. Seems like today's live stream is all about learning StreamYard.
Oh my gosh. Wow, you guys, this is killing me. I'm going to, okay, so let's actually get to the topic of the show if we can at some point today. And I am sorry for this, folks, because, you know, we were supposed to, I've been thinking about going to StreamYard for a couple months now because of, you know, how easy it is to automatically stream to, you know, the Crossing the Crescent Facebook page or stream to the YouTube. Because if I do it the other way, I have to download the video from Zoom, which takes, I don't know, probably about 30 minutes, and then I have to turn around and re-upload it both to YouTube and to Facebook. Well, what this will allow people to do is, or allow me to do, is just automatically, boom, it's already uploaded to three different streams, which would be, yeah, about time. Thank you, Chris.
And by the way, Chris is already there. You need to add him to the stream. So he just texted me that he is already in StreamYard. So you have to add him to the stream.
Okay. I'm already here.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, my bad. I thought it's Steve.
Okay, so it was supposed to make it easier for me, but I'm, you know, I don't know. I'll have to step back and take a look at this, because what I also have to be thinking about is if I can get an audio copy, an audio alone copy of the show, because when we do this on Blog Talk Radio for the Global Patriot Radio Network, I have to download the MP4 audio from Zoom, convert it to MP3, and then upload it back to Blog Talk Radio. And what I was hoping is that I would be able to get an MP3 version of this, just the audio only, without the video, and upload that. But by the looks of it, it doesn't look like I'm going to be able to do that. So I'm going to have to find some other version software someplace to get that done with. It doesn't matter. We'll get the technical difficulties worked out as we're going along. Okay, so 12 minutes into the program, folks. Welcome, and we appreciate you coming to the Crossing the Crescent discussion group. Today we're going to be talking about our country. A lot of people have some serious concerns about the direction that our country is going to take should Joe Biden prevail in the Electoral College. Should all of these vote counts actually hold up to what, you know, the media and the press is telling us, that, you know, Biden actually did win Wisconsin, Biden did actually win Pennsylvania, Michigan, all of those states that went to Trump last time, they're now saying that Biden won these. And, you know, I think we all woke up Wednesday morning. I felt pretty confident about what I was looking at. I was looking at Trump carrying those states because he was ahead statistically 3-4 percentage points in each of those, with 90% of the precincts reporting. But then as the day grew on, you come to the conclusion and the realization that the fix was already in. How do you get all of these precincts start reporting 99% of the ballots going for one candidate? How does that statistically work out? And the fact of the matter is that it doesn't. It's statistically impossible. You know, you're going to have at least two or three people make errors when casting the ballots. And then when you look, and this is one of the greatest evidences, as far as I'm concerned, that there were shenanigans going on. I developed a spreadsheet last night because I was thinking more and more about this. And what I was looking at was, okay, excuse me, the number of ballots that were cast in the swing states and those that had that also had a Senate race going on, how many of those ballots that were cast for Trump correlate to the number of ballots cast for the Republican senator versus the ballots cast for Biden? How do they correlate to the number of ballots cast for the Democrat senator? And how do you account for, you know, the other House ballots and how they don't add up either? So all of these things is something that our country is going to struggle with. Me personally, also for a long, long time, because how obvious this has become that there's just something that is statistically impossible going on here that is propelling Joe Biden into the presidency. But just like everything else, I want to see a peaceful transfer of power. If there is going to be a transfer of power, I want to see a peaceful transfer of power, unlike we had in 2016, oh, by the way. But I want to see that. And if that does come about, what is that going to look like for our country? What is going to happen to our country? And for me, somebody who has children and I have grandchildren who I love dearly, what does that mean for them? What is that going to do to them? Can just one presidency, you know, completely ruin our country? So these are questions that we're going to be asking today on the show. I know we're normally looking at theological issues, and the title of the show deals with, is God going to pour his wrath out on our country? Well, what I want to do is I just want to take a real quick minute to examine what our country has become, what a country has done to deserve judgment or what we can expect to be judged by, what are the fruits of our works here. Now, we all know God has judged his chosen country, Israel, several times over the years. As a matter of fact, there's an entire book or a couple books in the Bible. You'll never guess what the name of them is. Or no, the name of them are. Anyway, Judges. Yes, they're called Judges. And this is where God has appointed a judge to judge Israel for their sins, whether their sin was against God. Yes. Thank you. Whether their sin was of God against themselves or whatever the sin was. I just got a message. I'm sorry, folks. So the question becomes, okay, God has judged Israel before. He's judged them. Look at what he did with them in the Sinai. For crying out loud, he allowed all of them to die out there in the desert after the Exodus. Why? Because they sinned. He's had them go into the Babylonian captivity. The Assyrian taking the northern kingdom off into captivity in 721. So God has judged his people before, and that means that he's going to judge his people again. Will he judge the United States? Are we his chosen people? I don't know. The Bible isn't really clear. It doesn't mention the United States. It doesn't say the United States of America and America. It doesn't say anything about that. But I do believe that we are a country that inevitably is going to be judged. We've removed God from our public schools. We've removed the ability to pray in school. Well, you can still pray in school. You just can't do it out loud and collectively. We've removed the Bible and the teaching of the Bible from our public schools. So our children aren't getting a Christian-based education. We've allowed this scourge, and this is what just kills me, and this is what makes me so fearful for our country. This scourge of abortion, and how we've almost, you know, just when you just start flaunting your sin in the face of God and calling it a human right to abort a child, I don't know what type of country can continue to get away with that. We've had over 61 million babies have been aborted in this country since 1973 in Roe v. Wade. And thankfully, with President Trump, we've gotten three solid Supreme Court justices that are strict constructionists, which I truly believe, when looking at the ruling of Roe v. Wade and how shaky that decision was made, and the justification they use for it, I believe it can be overturned. But if you look what a Biden presidency would mean, especially if he gains control of the Senate, which, oh, by the way, is an entirely different topic here, but it looks like they're trying to pull the same thing with the Senate down in Georgia as they're doing with the Electoral College. But if you get a Senate, a compliant Senate, they get two more senators. It doesn't look like they're going to, but if they did, that would give them a 50-50 split in the Senate. And, of course, the vice president, is being the president of the Senate, would come in and decide whether or not they're going to add seats to the Supreme Court, whether or not they're going to. And if that's the case, and Biden is allowed to add people to the Supreme Court, how's that going to look? That is an additional, they've talked about adding an additional four people to the court, and that would preserve, because he's going to appoint a bunch of leftist pigs. I shouldn't say leftist pigs, but loose constructionists, let's just put it that way. You know who he's going to appoint and what type of judges that he's going to appoint, and that would, again, swing the court in their direction, and it would cause almost irrevocable harm to the institution itself. And the other things that are happening in our country, when we look at the display of the Ten Commandments, we can't even display the Ten Commandments in the courthouse, for Pete's sake. We have to put up separate signs in other places where they can display God's laws. What kind of country does that? What kind of people live in that country that decry, "Thou shalt not kill," "Thou shalt not lie"? These kinds of things. "Thou shalt not steal." Who? What kind of people is that has a problem with those laws being put out there? On top of that, you have the recent legalization of same-sex marriages, and this is something that 20 years ago you'd say there's no way that our country is going to do that. But yet today, thanks to Anthony Kennedy and a compliant court that no longer exists, thank goodness, we have given legal standing to homosexuality and saying, yes, this is something that we should recognize as a country. Last week in Sunday school, we were going through the book of Romans, and I was keep talking about Romans chapter 1, verse 32, where if you allow these things to happen, you're taking pleasure in these same things. It's just the same as you're committing the same sin. This is why churches all over the country, to include ours, scrambled after this case to ensure at least we have this what do we call that, where the pastor is not allowed to marry same-sex couples. We put it in the bylaws, hoping that nobody comes to the church and saying, "Hey, can you marry us?" And, "No, we're not going to." And the reason why it's in our bylaws. And then let the court figure that one out, whether a church can claim that exemption for itself. And I will tell you what the next shoe to drop on this is going to be: polygamy, polygamous marriages. If you can marry a dude and a dude, or a gal and a gal, why can't two dudes and a gal get married, or three dudes get married, for that matter? I mean, if you can allow that, what legal standing is there to prevent something like that? And on top of this, what you're going to see if Biden does eventually become president is you're going to see the revocation of, you're going to see an avalanche of the revocation of the executive orders that the current president has put out there, to include what people have coined, which is not true, the Muslim ban, where now you're going to continue to have unfettered, unscreened immigration from countries that simply hate us, and the people in those countries simply hate us. And a classic example is that mensch from Minneapolis, Ilhan Omar. That woman hates our country. If you hate our country, why are you serving in the Congress? If you want to take our country and transform it into something that it is not, why not just move to a country that it is something that is not and live there. Why try to transform our country into something that you want, which is another crap hole like the one that you came from? You've got countries like Syria where you can't even account for who these people are. There's no really working government. The same thing was with Somalia. There's no government there to confer these things. You get up into Iran, they hate, for crying out loud. If there is a government out there that absolutely hates the United States, for Pete's sake, it's Iran. And North Korea and Venezuela, again, these are two countries that they're not Muslim countries. So this is why I would say that you cannot legitimately call this a Muslim ban. But this executive order banning the immigration of persons from these countries, Yemen is another one, another great example. That's going to be revoked. And the next thing you know, we're going to have these little enclaves being built up all over our country of these people who absolutely have no interest in assimilating into our culture, into our society. The Paris Accord, what is going to happen with that? Where you're talking about entering into an agreement where you agree to limit the amount of greenhouse emissions coming from your country, when your country, being the greatest economic country on the planet in the history of the world, yes, we consume 20% of the Earth's oil supply, but we produce so much more of the Earth's food, of the Earth's technology, of the Earth's transport. I mean, we do so. This is why we consume much more energy, because we produce so much more in this country. And what you're talking about doing is saying, okay, well, you have to limit the greenhouse emissions, mean CO2, which is a byproduct of fossil fuels. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to run steel factories based on wind energy? How does that work out? The fact of the matter is, it doesn't, and it's going to destroy our country almost for certain economically. Okay, we lost. We lost DL, and now John Isaac is trying to connect for some reason. Can you guys see that, where people are trying to connect? Adam or Chris, can you see if they're trying to connect?
Nope.
Oh, am I taking all your talking points?
Yes. Basically, Eric, you have to add them to stream. So they are coming up on your bottom. Okay. We can see the click. So you have to add everyone to the stream, and then they can say something.
All right. I see them in now. Okay. There's a couple of other ones that I wanted to bring up. I'm sorry, Chris, for stealing your thunder, but when we look at, you know, gas prices today, and this is, you know, one of those saving graces, I guess, if you will, by entering into this Paris Accord, by ending drilling on public lands, ending fracking, we will become, of course, we will no longer be energy independent like we are today, and we will become energy dependent once again on countries that do not have our best interests at heart. Russia, Saudi Arabia, yes, even you Canadians that we get, I'm kidding, but mostly those that energy that we get from, and the oil that we get from overseas. So if you end this, based on your hatred for the energy industry, as he has stated in the past, we're going to be paying $5 a gallon for gas. And that, in my opinion, would open the door for having his. But if he makes it that long, which I don't think he will, thrown out in 2024. And one of the biggest ones for me is Second Amendment. He's gone through an interview I watched this week where he did an interview with, it doesn't matter who it was, but he asked Joe Biden, he goes, are you going to confiscate weapons? And Biden's like, bingo, yes, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Nobody needs to own the most popular rifle in the United States, which is an AR-15. Why not three? And I'm trying to figure out, well, okay, if I don't have the right to own that, who says? Who makes this decision whether or not I should have the right to own that type of gun, which has been legal for ever? Where does he get off making that decision? It's most certainly not based on crime statistics. More people are killed with hammers every year than they are with rifles. So to say that it's based on that is just stupid logic. but yet he's had that little love fest with, what was his name, that Beto, what's that guy's name from Texas? Beto Rourke, or whatever his name is. He says, I'm going to get you, I'm going to put you in charge of doing this. Really? You're going to put this guy in charge of confiscating guns? And you all know that it never starts off with straight confiscation. It starts off with registration. And then when you fail to register your firearms, you automatically become a fugitive of justice. You are now breaking the law. You are now a criminal. And what are they going to do with criminals then? Are they going to throw them in prison? This is how it all starts, folks. And this is why I am deeply fearful of all of these things coming true in our country. If this guy ever makes it into the White House. And worse yet, that running mate of his, who's almost certainly going to become president if within 4 years, because there's no way he's going to make it. His cognitive decline is just, it's occurring so rapidly. If you just look at his speeches from a year ago and base that up on what he's saying now, I mean, it's just, it's incredible how far off this guy has fallen. And to think that that can't go on, or that can go on in perpetuity, is foolish. She's simply not going to make it. And to have her become president and her policies, which would be even worse than his, is a scary supposition. Okay, Chris, now that I've stolen all of your talking points and thunder, is there anything that you have to say about all of this?
Yeah, the first thing, for sure. Now, I'm going to start off by saying to the Republicans that listen to this, this doesn't apply to you because you didn't vote for him. But to the Democrats, you must reap what you sow. You wanted this man, and I hope you get him. And the reason for this is that I look back into history, and that I see, as Eric is saying, is that God has judged his people according to their disobedience. We can even look at the destruction of the Second Temple. The Jews lost the temple, and it was destroyed 40 after the death of their Messiah. So as back in the Second Temple, God said, you want to kill your Messiah, you want to have your sins, you want to be disobedient to me, you want to do your own thing, here you go. Here's your destruction. This is what you wanted. And in the same sense, I can see the same thing happening to the U.S. The U.S. has been through taking God out of school, as Eric said. People are kneeling for the national anthem. We have abortion is being used as birth control. We are having transgenderism a natural and normal thing. It is not mental health where people need help. And that's what I truly believe it is. I believe it is mental health. And I believe that the people should be getting the proper help that they need instead of being fed that their delusion is actually reality. But this is what the Democrats have been doing for years. And it got to the point even 4 years ago where a man, Donald Trump, won an election in 2016. In January of 2017, I believe they started their impeachment inquiry. So basically, and actually because of the FISA courts and everything else and the things before, they were starting before this man, Donald Trump, even become president. They tried getting rid of him then. They lied about Russia. We have CNN that is lying. Well, everybody's lying about Donald Trump being racist. I even spoke to a Muslim on Facebook. And this is a well-known Muslim apologist, too, Sami Zaatari. He was saying that Trump in Charlottesville did not denounce white supremacy. Anybody in the world can go and watch that address. And he actually says that he condemns neo-Nazis and white supremacists before he says there was fine people. But what they do is they cut off a piece of it because they want to make him look like he's a racist. And this is what that Democrats have been doing to the people of the United States. And for the people of the United States that just want to turn a blind eye to all of this, you now get what you deserve. You get Biden, you get the higher taxes. And before we get into that, you guys just hired a man that had his son on one of the most corrupt people's business in the world, in Ukraine, under Burisma. And guess what? $1.8 billion got sent to Ukraine. It got sent to a private bank owned by the same corrupt individual that owns Burisma. This is the man that you guys elected. He was making $400,000 when he left office in 2016. 1 year later, he made $1.6 million. The next year, $1.8 million. Where is he making this money on his on his records? They're speaking engagements, their trips here and there. So he's like, now we have the same thing that's going on in Canada, and you guys are going to be the same as us. Our prime minister, we know he is crooked. He has what he calls the We Charity, We Foundation. They actually had to shut it down because his mother and other family members were getting paid obscene amounts of money from this charity fund to go to certain engagements to speak for roughly a half hour, about 40 minutes. They're getting like $500,000 for one speaking engagement, 200 and some thousand for another one. And it's the same thing that's going on with Joe Biden. But, and again, this is what Democrats want. So therefore, this is what you get. And that's why I would say that I kind of agree. Like, I'm not going to dip into scriptures and say that this is an act of condemnation upon the U.S. people for their sins and disobedience towards God. But I can see why people would say that. Because of their sins and their disobedience, God has given them Biden. Here you go, deal with them. I just hope that it doesn't take more than 4 years to people to see how corrupt the Democratic Party truly is. Go ahead, Eric.
Well, when we look at just the issue, and I hate to keep going back to this, but if you just look at the issue of abortion itself, it's almost like it's a sacrament to be a Democrat. And, you know, I've seen a lot of Democrats run on a platform saying that I'm pro-life. And it very well may be true that they personally may be pro-life, and what they're doing is they're playing on the ignorances of the electorate, because they know darn good and well, just as soon as they get to Washington, D.C., they still may maintain their pro-life platforms and push for pro-life legislation, but that legislation goes nowhere, and the reason why is it ultimately gets tied up in the courts and eventually makes its way to the Supreme Court. And, oh, by the way, when you get there and you are caucusing with the Democrats, they're the ones that control the committees, who gets a hearing and who does not get a hearing to be an appointee on the Supreme Court, it's all bets are off. So when we start talking about being judged as a nation, this one thing itself is there's got to be a price for flaunting that. I mean, when you talk about the sin of homosexuality, there's got to be a price of flaunting that. When you talk about just something as simple as knowing what you are, a girl or a boy, and this is we used to call it gender confusion. They're no longer calling it gender confusion. They're calling it transgenderism. Are you there? Are you? Or no, they call it quit questioning. You're questioning yourself now. This is what our country has become. And when you start looking at, again, as Chris mentioned, the Second Temple, this, you know, the falling of the second, you know, the Second Temple. The Jews at that time, if you trace the history back, they came out of the Babylonian captivity about the 5th century BC. But they had about a 400-year period there where they came out of their captivity. And they never went back to their idol worship at all. They were looking, they were genuinely looking to practice Judaism as they found it in the Mosaic Law. They restored their temple worship. They rebuilt the walls. They rebuilt the temple. And they never went back to idolatry again. They never allowed those foreign gods to come in and have sway over their worship. But they ultimately were judged for rejecting the Messiah. They're ultimately judged for rejecting Jesus Christ. And when we see our schools rejecting the teaching of just basic common human decency principles as found in the Bible, my God, how can you not be in fear that your nation is going to be judged, especially if we have a leader who professes to be a Catholic? And I don't have any reason to doubt that he has a sincere belief in God. But what I do have a problem with is his application of it. When we look at somebody that, and I remember very succinctly that night that he was debating Paul Ryan in 2012, and Paul Ryan was Mitt Romney's running mate for vice president. And the guy is nothing but theater. And this issue of abortion came up. Paul Ryan, who I believe is a Catholic also, they asked him first. And then, or no, they asked Joe Biden first. And Joe Biden was sitting, he was coming off of one point about, you know, pointing at Ryan and being really boisterous and uppity. And then they asked him a question about abortion. And he all of a sudden, his whole demeanor changes. Like, well, I believe in the sanctity. And it's just, you could tell it's an act. So when I say that, I don't doubt his faith, but I do doubt how he is going to act upon that faith as president. I do doubt that, and I do completely and firmly believe that the consequences of not acting on those core beliefs that you're supposed to have as a Christian and allowing judges to get appointed to the courts that care less about the sanctity of life, judges getting appointed to the courts that will continue to affirm an act or confirm and encourage homosexuality and same-sex marriages, a court that will continue to affirm that people who are confused about what they are somehow need some type of legal and special status. It is indeed frightening. Okay. Does anybody else want to come up on mic and opine this? You've heard from myself and Chris, Adam, John, DL. DL always has something to say. I don't know if he's having connectivity issues. He's been in and out of this chat here today. DL, do you have anything to add to this or no? John, no. Adam, no. Okay, well, then we're just going to go on to the other one. What about the issue of, well, I talked about immigration as far as the Muslim ban is concerned, but I didn't talk about what Trump has done on our southern border with this wall and how many miles of a barrier that he's been able to erect. I wouldn't say he was subverting Congress, but he was using other means. He's being creative with the budget, the military budget, saying this is a security issue, and so he used funds at his discretion from the Department of Defense. So the question then becomes, is Joe Biden going to allow that fence to go unfinished, allow that fence to, God forbid, be torn down? And this is the beauty of that fence. And I don't mean this in a pejorative sense or in a way to be demeaning towards people of Hispanic descent. But when you think of the greatness of our country, we have people literally breaking down our walls to get into our country. I would ask, what other country out there exists where people are trying to break down the walls to get into that country. Now, we can look at Europe today, where you have mass migrations of Muslims coming up from North Africa and West Asia, trying to make their way into Greece, cross through Greece over into the Western European countries, where the welfare systems are much more generous than what they are in Greece, because Greece can't even afford to, you know, keep its lights on at night. They're so broke. They're not going there to assimilate. That's the issue. They're going there to live off the largesse, live off the benefits. I mean, you get the kingpin is, of course, getting to England, but they definitely want to get to Sweden. They definitely want to get to France. And they come to find out that 95% of them, after being in those countries for 5 years, still don't have a job. So you ask yourself, are they going there to assimilate? Are they going there for economic opportunities? And the obvious answer, the obvious answer, the statistically demonstrable answer is no. They're going there to live off of social welfare programs. Whereas here in the United States, even though we do have a generous welfare program, people coming to this country are not interested in coming here just to get on. Well, there might be some, I suppose. I can't say that all of them, because there's always some other nefarious motivations for people to come to this country. But the majority of them coming here for the freedoms, the economic opportunities that this country provides them to make a better life, to make a life for them and their children. They're coming here for the religious freedom that they can experience here. Adam can talk all day about that versus what he faced back in his home country. John Isaac can talk about that all day as far as what he faced back in his home country. You still have people like the Imam. Let me see here, because I was looking at what he was saying about the implementation of Sharia. Let's see here. Of the 13 predominantly Muslim countries that follow Sharia, none of it follow it correctly in all aspects as regulated by Islamic jurisprudence. So if you allow the Sharia, Islamia, to come to our country, who's to say that it's going to be applied perfectly according to God's ordinances? And the obvious answer is it won't. It cannot. You have too many freedom-loving people in this country to allow it. But here's what I found really interesting, and that if we ever make it to see Dr. Bush at the school board, he talks about the implementation of Sharia in this country. Now, I'm not saying Joe Biden is going to allow the application and the implementation of Sharia in this country, but he points out something very peculiar of what he is for and what he is against. It's on page 106. It says, punishment for adultery by stoning under Sharia. Note the following requirements. What he's doing here, what he's doing is he is justifying burying a woman up to her waist and picking up blunt objects, rocks, and hurling them at her, hitting her until she's dead. Just so you know what this man is advocating here. Hold on a second. I got a message coming in on.
Yeah, let me add to that point. The rocks are not supposed to be blunt. It should be any type. So it's supposed to be painful death. So, yeah, according to Sharia, if you go all the way according to Sharia.
It's supposed to do what again, Adam? I'm sorry.
It's supposed to give more pain. So it's not like they are not supposedly all blunt rocks. They can be round. They can be of any shape. So it's a painful, painful implementation of that. So by using blunt rocks, you are killing her very fast. That's what I'm saying. So for Sharia, they are like, if nothing is mentioned that they should be pointy or blunt or something like that, it's a painful, painful way of that. And just to add to your previous comment, because you brought in Sharia, and if I compare Sharia with liberalism, there are a lot of similarities in both. Rather, let me just say Islam and liberalism. they have a lot of similarities. In fact, it looks quite opposite to each other, but there are a lot of similarities. For example, they both claim themselves to be victims, right? Islam is always victimizing itself, even though that Islam started fighting, attacking, winning, and then subduing everyone according to the statements which Muhammad gave to them. Still, they claim that they are victimized. Liberalism says the same thing, that they are being victimized by Christians. Now, look at it from the higher perspective. Liberalism says freedom of speech, yet they oppose freedom of speech. For example, if a gay person comes to you and say, "Hey, Eric, what do you think of gays?" You know, now, right now, he asks you a question about your thinking, right? And if you say that my belief and my thinking says that gayism is bad, he will be offended. He's against freedom of speech to begin with. Even, like, I'm not saying that I should punish you. My Bible doesn't say, Jesus never commanded to stone you to death. But it is a sin, and I hold this opinion. They won't take it freely. Yet they say that they have a freedom of speech. Same is the case with Islam. They would not allow you to speak freely. Both of them lie. Like, this is a basic concept of Islam, and I've done a whole video on that. You can lie even just to be good with others. It's in hadith, which are sahih. If some Muslim denies it, fair enough, let them deny. Same is happening in liberalism. They proclaim something else, and they actually do something else. Islam gives you a totality in nature. It gives you everything. You have to accept this, you have to accept this. It has a total waveform to accept from top to bottom, from 0 to 100. You have even bathing, the most easiest thing, the most simplest thing, the most personal thing, Islam tells you how to bathe. Same as liberalism, they want to give you totality. Oh, gayism is marriage. It should be married inside a church. Why? Church is not about liberalism. It is a God's commandment that we are following, and it's a body of Christ. Let alone whether it's a building right now or not, but it's a body of Christ going there, following the covenant of God, which is marriage between male and female. Whereas they want to put that in there as well. Why are they going? They want to do total control of everything. And at the same time, if you look at it closely, liberalism is oppressing Christianity, in fact. And Islam oppresses Christianity as well. Full stop. Like, there are so many verses, I don't have to mention them over here right now. So by default, I don't care who is the president. The president of Liberal Party can be Donald Trump. It can be George W. Bush. It can be whoever. It doesn't matter who is representing that ideology. According to my observation, where I come from, and according to my observation of liberal parties and their statements, it is a different kind of an Islam with a different kind of a faith. Full stop. And if you can obviously negate me or debate me on that. So yeah, that's my understanding, and that's my statements.
And well, I just okay, and I appreciate that perspective, Adam. I honestly do. And the idea of comparing and contrasting or equating the two, the application of the Sharia and liberalism, that you're exactly right. As far as the victimhood status, both of them claim to be the oppressed when in fact they are the oppressors. And if you would dare to call them out on it, you're called certain names. You're called, of course, Islamophobe, or in this other case, you're called a homophobe. So you are categorized or marginalized by I had just another only. I'm having all these things coming in. I'm sorry, Colin. Message on my phone says you're backstage. Only one host can see you. Can anybody see Colin at all, or is that only me?
You have to add him up to find Colin down and just click on add.
I don't see them on the screen at all, though. I don't see them.
Not on the main screen, down there.
Down where?
In the lower part. You will have a scroll now because we are already five, so the sixth person will be on a scroll. So on your bottom right side, next to the comments, there will be a small scroll. Scroll it down. You might be able to see him add to the screen.
Okay, comment, brand, private.
No, look down. You can see Stephanie's comment. On the left side of Stephanie's comment, there should be a scroll, small scroll. Down there.
No, there was something else, though, that was supposed to be on there. That besides the comments, there was private chat. No, it wasn't a private chat. Comments. I do not see another scroll. I just have one scroll bar.
Okay, the scroll bar is on the right side. I'm saying on the left side, on the main screen where you can see yourself on us, down there. So yeah, it's a new platform. There's a learning curve. StreamYard was difficult for me to begin with as well, but now I'm used to it.
I'm sorry, I can't see it, Colin. Wait a second, what's this? No, that's not it either. Okay, we're going to get better at this, or we're going to go back to Zoom. One of the two, and we'll make that decision later. Okay, so... what you were saying, though, is that, yes, they do both play the victim card. And then if you do dare call them out about their ideologies, for example, I wrote a paper when I was getting my master's degree in human development. And in this paper, we were talking, I was speaking about homosexuality and how homosexuality is not a natural part of the development of human beings, because the argument that we hear today is that, well, the people were just born this way. And my argument is no, they're not. This is a chosen, you might have proclivities, or you might have different, personal attributes that give you the ability to pursue that, but we're not made that way. It's, you're not made a drunk. You have a higher disparity. I can't even know what the word I'm looking for. But you're not made to be a drunk. You're not made to be a homosexual. You're not made to be a drug addict. You might be more inclined to pursue those things genetically, but you're not made that way. And when I wrote this, I was citing evidence after evidence after. I mean, if you look at the homosexual lifestyle, it is not a lifestyle. It is a death style is what it essentially is. Exponential increases in domestic violence, the exponential increase in drug use, exponential increases in alcoholism, exponential increases in just the sexually transmitted diseases that go along with it, let alone the cancers or the huge disparity and the decline of lifespans that are just study after study after study has demonstrated this. But yet, if you bring this up, you're called a homophobe. You're called a name. You're marginalized. And the same thing is true with Islam itself. We can sit here all day and talk about Muhammad. We can sit here all day and talk about the Quran and talk about how the Quran cannot be the word of God. We can sit here all day and talk about what Muhammad did during his lifetime and how repugnant a lot of his behavior was. But when you do that, again, you're marginalized. You're called an Islamophobe. And this is what's happening here when you mentioned where they try to repress this freedom of speech. For crying out loud, we just watched last week that a school teacher in Paris, France, in order to illustrate an abject lesson in freedom of speech, just a basic human right that we enjoy here in the West, showed a Muhammad cartoon. And then the next day, he has a jihadi show up and cuts the guy's head off in the school parking lot for showing a cartoon. Country loses its little loving mind. It says, that is wrong. That is terrible. And it is. Somebody's get their head cut off for showing a cartoon. How can you really be that offended? With that said, you cut a guy's head off for showing a cartoon, teaching a lesson on freedom of speech. The reason why we have laws protecting the freedom of speech is because what you may consider is hateful and vile, other people consider the truth. So when you draw a picture or a cartoon of Muhammad that says, like I was reading an article by Bosch Foshman today, and the article is titled, Muslim Death Threats Don't Violate Any of Social Media's Community Standards. John, how that is true. But what he's doing is he's basically illustrating that you can make a death threat against somebody for offending somebody's religious sensibilities, but yet you dare say boo on Facebook about Islam, and then you end up getting bad. It's so disproportionate. So the application there is just sickening. But you don't have freedom of speech under Islam. You do not have freedom of speech under liberalism. They try to shut and shout you down. If you look all across the country, anybody that tries to speak out, look at what was that guy, Milo something something. He has like a Greek name. I mean, he basically completely shut down. Ann Coulter.
That was Milo Yiannopoulos.
Milo, there you go, Yiannopoulos, yeah. You don't even hear from that guy hardly anymore. Why? Because he is banned from most college campuses. Why? Because he has a conservative message. Even though he's a homosexual, and he does it. It's his conservative political bent. Ann Coulter, another prime example, or any other conservative out there.
Yes. So this picture properly defines the East and the West. So, yeah, I took this picture from Al-Fadi's seminar where one of his attendants was showing it. So, yeah, so in East, this is their hijab. And in West, liberalism and everything that is happening right now, this is the kind of hijab that we are wearing. It's right on the eyes. The part which is missing is on our eyes. In the East, people are figuring out by opening their eyes, even though the rest of them are covered, by opening their eyes, they are looking at Islam not to be good. Christianity, the true God, Jesus to be the truth and the light. And then we are covering our eyes. And that is why we have issues in America right now. I love this country. I was not born in this country. But what I have seen in my country versus the freedom that I have in this country, I love this country. And may the God protect this country. But our Christian majority is wearing the missing part of hijab from the eastern part right now on their eyes. And this is going to be a huge problem because per 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2, verse number 11, we are in great delusion right now. We are in great delusion right now. They do not know what is coming at them. And that's where the problem is. So, yeah, I rest my case.
I like that picture, too. I had signed up for that, and now that you mentioned it, I completely forgot about that. I think I can... I'll get with Al-Fadi. I'll send him an email, whoever allowed me.
You will be getting a recording soon.
Right, I'll get the recording. That's what I want to do, because that's a great illustration.
They're sending to all participants who signed up.
Yeah, and this is just a great illustration of the differences when you start talking about the freedom of speech and the application of it. And this is what really worries me, is where, you know, you start having somebody that comes into the position, becomes president of the United States. And this is their position. This is what you know, and I know the Democratic Party is you know, one of their foundational principles is personal individual liberties, personal individual freedoms, freedom to have an abortion, freedom to be a homosexual. But when you start making an application of that and saying, okay, what about my freedom to disagree with you? Oh, no, you can't do that. And then this is where you get the heckler's veto, and you're basically shouted down and shouted off the stage for daring to second guess that. And what I wanted to do here, again, is go back to what Kenny had said in his book. And also I wanted to illustrate what this joker here that posted on the – let's see here. He somehow posted this in the chat about refuting – the cross and the crescent. Marshall Gregory. I mean, this guy.
Yes, somebody created a page trying to refute Cross and Crescent. Yeah, I saw that long time ago.
Okay, and you know, he says that I don't live in his head. I mean, this guy is he's nuts, is what he is. This guy needs some type of serious help. I mean, he's sending me dozens of emails every week, and I wake up in the morning and look. You know, I got six of them from him. Now, dude, go find a life and leave me alone. But if he wants, you know, if this is, if it makes him feel good. But here's what I wanted to illustrate with him, and I'll get back to Kenny's book. When you look at the Islam and left axis that's going on here, and the similarities that you pointed out, Adam, between the two, he says he's writing a book, and I don't think he's writing a book to save his life, because the guy can't put two coherent sentences together. But let's just pretend he is writing a book and it's not a coloring book. Let's pretend it's a book that provides a legitimate criticism of the United States. He sent me, I don't know how many emails about this book that he's writing. It's called The United Terrorist States of America. And what he has done for this book, let me make sure you can see the quotation marks. He's gone in there and he's done some type of Google search or Wikipedia search and cut and pasted a description of all of the military action that our country has taken over the past 100 years. I mean, you begin with, the Boxer Rebellion, and you go into, certain bombing campaigns that our country is engaged in. And I know he listed the one that was in Tripoli where we essentially got Muammar Gaddafi to stop sponsoring terrorism around the world. No thanks to the French, oh, by the way. But this is what how he feels about our country. He sends me an email bragging about registering convicted felons to vote in the upcoming election. And the reason why he does this is because he himself is a convicted felon, and he's proud of the fact that now he has a vote under new voter laws. I'm not exactly sure how that all works out. Maybe somebody in chat knows that. I'm sorry, John, there we go. I'm not sure if somebody in the chat knows what he's talking about there. But evidently now that you can register people who were felons, they can now vote in elections. There's one part of me that says, okay, if you've already paid your debt to society, maybe you should have a say so in that society. But then again, at the same time, one part of me says, look, you've offended society so much so that they had to put you in a cage to keep you from causing irreparable harm to that society for a period of time. And you're going to come out and you're going to tell me that, you know, it's all G now. I don't know. There's two different sides of that. But when you look at guys like this that have this immense hatred for our country and are willing to do anything to destroy it and destroy anything that's good about it, this is what you get. This is the scumbag behavior that you get. He's in there. He's mass reporting this show. He's mass reporting people. You guys know this just as well as I do. What he does. And this is the typology of the type of people that hate our country and what drives them, what ideology drives them towards that hatred. And this is where you get books like this, because it's this ideology that drives people to write things, that our country is a hateful country. Our country has done nothing good across this globe. It is a place that marginalizes people. It is a place that is racist and is Islamophobic, and it's not. The fact of the matter is America is good. America is great. And so when you come up in this book and you're saying, okay, well, I think we ought to apply Sharia. And he calls Newt Gingrich. It's just one of many people convinced that the picture of Islam is that. I mean, he tries to marginalize by a statement of Newt Gingrich, but here we go. Sharia law has been used to paint an ugly picture of Islam by its enemies. And this is what amazes me. He uses the example of, I'm sorry, Mr. Bree, if you tried to call me right in the middle of the show. Sorry, I had to decline that.
Yeah, I don't know where he is getting that point while you were talking to Mr. Bree, but he is a pure STUPID.
A terror what?
Because, yeah, do you want me to pronounce stupid?
Oh, stupid, yeah.
You're really bad with spelling.
Okay. I didn't hear what, I think I heard something ID, and I'm like, it was like an IED. Or something like that. I didn't know what you're talking about.
So, the whole idea is, where does he live? If he lives in the West, then he doesn't even know what East is doing, what is happening in the East. That's just plain and stupid to actually say these things.
Mm-hmm.
Ask the people who comes from the East to the West, and they know the difference. They know the value of the West. Ask people like us. Ask the people like who comes from Egypt, from Saudi, from Dubai, from Pakistan, from India, from Afghanistan, from all these countries. Ask these people what West is, what America is. Every country has problems. Yes, we know that. But what is the basic value of the country? And that's what matters. And if we take away that basic value, you are nothing. We are nothing. And God bless America. And I wish my kids grow up in America, taking the values of America, but not the liberal democratic values, I'm sorry, the current values of America. And I cannot say this is the best country in the world because I have not seen other countries and I was not brought up and grown up in this country. But once again, it is one of the best countries that I have visited so far. And yes, I have visited many countries. Okay. And I love it. I have the freedom of everything to choose, to eat, to drink, to do whatever. Like, there is nobody stopping me to do what I want to do. Right? Yeah, I'm not talking about taking drugs if somebody says that. Says that, that would be idiotic anyways. But once again, you understand what I'm saying is,
mm-hmm.
in Muslim countries, you do not have these kind of freedoms whatsoever, full stop. You do not. And if you are bringing the same kind of rule over here, whether under liberalism or under Islam, this country will not be called a good country, full stop. So we have to think again and remember what the picture is. Right now, we have cover on our eyes. We are thinking and most of the people are thinking that liberalism is okay, it's good, but you need to understand to what extent it is good. Christianity is the most liberal religion that I've ever seen. I've grown up in Islam near to Hindus, okay? And I know comparing at least these two with Christianity, it is the most liberal religion ever. And I don't know how come liberalism comes up to play against Christianity, but it does somehow, because they want to enforce things on Christian beliefs. And that is why I have to say, and I have said that in a video as well in the past, liberalism is actually destroying Christianity, full stop. The motive of liberalism is to destroy Christianity, because there is no country which is a Muslim country and you would call it liberalism or you would bring liberalism there, full stop. You cannot do that. So you can only bring liberalism to the Christian majority country, and hence by bringing liberalism in a Christian majority country, you are actually destroying Christianity. You are taking them away from the true God. So that's my stance on liberalism.
Sure.
I hope you would agree with me on that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, any ideology that takes away from believing in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and His sacrificial atonement on a cross for our sins is evil. As far as anybody who is a Christian should and must admit something like that, and the reason is because the very one thing that saves you from the eternal separation from God, the very one thing that saves you from an eternity in hell, is Jesus Christ's sacrificial atonement on a cross. And to say that it never happened, as in Islam, or to say that you cannot tell people these types of things in a public setting is indeed evil. And it
exactly. And imagine when I was trying to preach because I got on fire when I found Jesus, right? And I accepted him as my savior. I wanted to preach out loud. I realized, because I was doing that, I realized that I can't even do that in the malls of United States of America, which is so-called a Christian country. It's not a Christian country, full stop. You can't even do that in a public mall. You can't even do that in the parking lot of public malls. Like, this is how silly it is. I realized that in a lot of ways, it is a Muslim country. In a Muslim country, any Muslim can go to any mall, to any parking lot, and proclaim Islam and Allah and Muhammad. Full stop. Nobody will stop you. Nobody will stop you. They stop Christians to do all that on the streets, on the malls, on the parking lot. And I realized that, oh my God, sometime in the past, there was some law passed which stops you to publicly proclaim Lord Jesus Christ in these kind of places where they are public. Chris, do you know that? Do you know when it got passed? I didn't even know that.
Well, I know that there's prohibitions to preaching the word of God in certain private venues. For, let's say, for example, in a store. You just can't walk into a Walmart, stand up on the cash register and start preaching the word of God. But at the same time, if you're out in the parking lot and you're just simply approaching people and talking to them about Christ, there shouldn't be. I don't believe there is a prohibition against that. But there is a prohibition. My mouth's going too fast here. Prohibition against people. What did they call that? Public. I don't know. Public.
Public malls, like public squares.
I can't even get the word. This is what happens when you get older. Breaking the peace. It doesn't matter. If you are disrupting people's lives, you are not allowed to do that in a public setting. I can't remember what it is. Disrupting the peace, something of those lines. I know that you're not allowed to do that. But let me get back to what the imam is saying here is in his book. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to say, okay, here in the West, we're using the Sharia to paint an ugly picture of Islam. And it's actually we're not. What we're doing is we're illuminating and discussing what the Sharia is and what it does. And for some reason, he tries to use the punishment for committing adultery in Islam as a reason for implementing the Sharia. And he says there's so many safeguards. The stoning for adultery must be a law of the land in the country in which the adulterous act occurred. No, it doesn't. This is Sharia, and they apply it. It does not have to be the law of the land. This can be people going out and making an application of it themselves. This is what they do. This is what it's called for under the Sharia. But then he goes in and he says, okay, the accuser must produce three other witnesses. No. It's the opposite. It's the other way around. The woman has to provide witnesses that this did not happen. But even if he is right on, let's just pretend that he is right on this. What you're doing is you're using one of the most barbaric punishments that you could ever think of is stoning somebody, throwing rocks at somebody until they're dying and until they're dead, and using it as a justification for something that is clearly an immoral punishment by today's standards. I know when you go back to the Old Testament, they talk about stoning adulterers, and I understand that. But that was during the Mosaic Covenant. That is a completely different time than what we live today. We've gone through two different, the Davidic Covenant, and we've gone through the New Covenant with Christ. And we just simply don't do that anymore. But here, he's trying to make a justification for it also. And if you go to the Quran, I think it's 532, 533, where they justify crucifixion for people. One of the most abhorrent means of... Somebody's printing something here in the room. One of the most abhorrent means of punishing somebody for a perceived crime is nailing them to a cross until they die, for Pete's sake. How cruel is that? But yet, it's right there in the Quran under the Sharia as a prescription for Israel. It's right in the Quran itself, but not also, it's also in the Sharia as a prescription to punish people who commit, what is it, fitna?
Yeah, then that's the problem with fitna.
Yeah.
Yeah, the problem with fitna is, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry,
no, it's okay.
But like, this word is very important because fitna is a very generic term. It is a very, very generic term. And there are four punishments mentioned in this surah, chapter number 5, verse number 33. One, should be killed. Two, or crucified. Three, or their hands and their feet. Four, should be cut from the opposite side. Means full legs, full hands should be cut from the opposite side. Four major punishment has been described in this surah, in this ayah. And yet, there is no context of fitna defined by Allah for these four major punishments. And hence, Muslim Sharia law applies it anywhere they want. Even there are a couple of sheikhs and imams says that fitna is then when an apostate, of Islam publicly says that he's an apostate, he's creating a fitna as well. So they even apply that for an apostate of Islam on this fitna. So this is how generic this term is, that anything that goes against the saying of Muhammad and Quran is fitna. But yet Quran doesn't even describe that. And that is why people come back and say Sharia is not Islamic. This country has Sharia this way. This country has Sharia this way. This country has Sharia this way. Idiots realize the fact. So Quran doesn't even describe what fitna is. Hence, every scholar has his own understanding. And Sharia is basically demonic to begin with. Why are you going to cut your hands and feet from opposite side? Describe me when? Creating a fitna? It's not even described. Fitna is how do you describe it in English, man?
Corruption.
No, corruption, but corruption, like, of what kind, you know?
Well, it's an ambiguous term. You know, what
exactly
might be corruption for somebody might not be corrupt for somebody else to do.
Exactly. So, this is crazy to begin with. So, yeah, that's why you have different Sharia books by different imams. Because Quran doesn't even describe fitna, the corruption, in a specific way, yet there are four major punishments in there. You see the problem? You see why Muslims come back to you and say, hey, this Sharia is not Islamic? Because that particular guy who's talking to you, and you have a Sharia book maybe by, let's assume, Al-Khumayni, or maybe by Al-Azhar University, some Mufti of Al-Azhar University, and you are proclaiming Sharia based on that book, this guy would be from Imam B, who proclaims it differently. You know, and that's why there are problems. I created a series called Who is Allah? They don't even have consensus on the major name, La ilaha illallah, there is no God but Allah. On the major thing of Allah, the God of Islam. Some say it's a name, some say it just means the God, as in Al, as in the, and Ilah, as in God. So they don't even have consensus on the most basic things. Quran is a man-made, stupid created by a 7th century caravan robber who had no knowledge of whatsoever, and he was saying left, right, and center just to get by and be a sultan of that time. I'm sorry, I became a little hyper because sometimes these things remind me of my past and how, I'm sorry, I need to be quiet.
When we start looking at what the Sharia does, and let's not forget, the whole purpose of the show is to take a look at, you know, what type of country are we going to become should Biden become president? What are the policies that he's going to implement and allow that is going to bring judgment upon this country? And then when you contrast those ideologies with what is taught by the Sharia, I mean, this is where we get to these very salient points that we're discussing here. And when we, you made a very interesting comment earlier, and I wrote it down. You said that we're one of the best countries in the world.
And I know.
That you know of. Okay. I would submit, and this is what I teach in my history classes, that we are unquestionably the greatest country in the world. And here's why. And please hear me out on this. I understand that there's several other countries in this world that do provide the same type of freedoms that we do here in the United States to their citizens and to those people who immigrate from other countries. But you're not going to find the level of economic prosperity in those countries that we have here. You're not going to find those levels of educational opportunities that we have here in the United States. You're not going to see the level of just the care that we give and the extent that we go to in order to ensure the safety of our citizens. And then you will not also find the desire of not only the people, but the will of the government to ensure that other countries out there across the globe enjoy the same freedoms that we have here in the United States. You know, I've traveled all over Europe, been to several Central and South American countries, been to the Middle East, and you know, I haven't been to every country on the planet, and I really have no intention. Some countries I definitely don't want to go to. But I have seen the world at its best, and I've seen it at its worst. And when we start looking at what this country provides each and every single citizen that lives in this country, to me, there's just no comparison. What we're going to do, guys, is that we're going to go ahead and cut this show short today. Obviously, all of the invites that I sent out, I've been getting instant messages all over my Facebook during the course of the show saying, I can't get in. This is my fault. I'm going to take full responsibility for it. And I'm going to have a couple conversations, and we'll probably, based on my feelings right now, even though I love this venue where you can just stream it straight into those two Facebook pages that I run and the YouTube channel, it's really not that much work for me to just go ahead and upload the videos that I get from Zoom. Make that decision and cross that bridge when we get there. Do you got any parting words, Adam, DL? You're the last ones left in the house today.
My parting words are try to understand what Christ said. Try to understand why liberalism is not done. Christianity is the most liberal religion. Most liberal religion. It doesn't punish you for a lot of things. Okay? So even if you are not even a Christian and you want to be, let's say, you want to be gay or somebody, we don't stone you to death. Okay, you have your faith in reality, and we have our. We will say, come to God. We will say, this is a sin, but we are not stoning you to death. So, at the same time, this is the most liberal religion ever on the face of planet, because this is from God, and it provides a relationship between you and the God. That is not even a religion. It's a relationship. Religion is a word which is a pagan word to begin with, which was created by pagans when they went away from God. God from the Old Testament to the New Testament said, these are my chosen people. God never gave the name a religion. It was pagan practice when they went out and they created names of their own religions. So realize this fact, learn this fact. So this is a relationship with God. Get into this relationship. Stay away from satanic cults. I even want to go and say, per my understanding, liberalism is once again a cult in itself because it's an ism. So it's an ism. It's an ism once again. So realize the issues in liberalism. There is a problem in this ism. And once again, that's what I would like to say, because I have seen the other side. From the other side coming to this side, realizing the facts, I can clearly state that, and whoever wants to have further discussion on this, I'm more than welcome Chris will Eric will open the bridge for all of us to get in. Thank you so much, Eric.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming here every Sunday, Adam. And DL, even though DL is practicing his Fifth Amendment privilege by having the right to remain silent and not come up, but that's quite all right. All right, so we're going to go ahead and call it a day, folks. Pray for our country. Pray for those people who are involved in determining who is going to be the next president. And if, in fact, it does happen to be Joe, pray that there is a peaceful transfer of power and that our country's tradition, our most cherished tradition, that we do or not like in some of these third world despotic countries where people start shooting each other's heads off their shoulders because they disagree. We still want to have this ability to engage in the public discourse. And I would pray that if there have been these irregularities occurred, that this is something that when we start talking about disenfranchising the American voter by cheating and have somebody dumping, 150,000 ballots in the back of a truck into a precinct to be counted. I mean, there's no greater disenfranchisement than that. So pray that this is all going to be worked out. All the truth of what has happened is going to be found out, and that the legitimate, whether it is Donald Trump or Joe Biden, the will of the American people will be represented in the executive branch in the Electoral College. So God bless y'all, and we will see you next week on the Cross and the Crescent discussion group. If we don't see you sooner on Tuesday on Radio Free Kafiristan, God bless. We'll see you then.
You're still live and the broadcast on your top right corner.
Okay, I did. I thought.
Okay, now it's ended. So, yeah, brother, this is.